Hello, and welcome back to Ex-Tumblr Girls, a podcast hosted by two ex-Tumblr girls turned modern Tumblr women who never really stopped dressing like it was the year 2014. I'm your host, Tori.
I'm your host, Carly.
Welcome back. So for this week's episode, we let our Instagram followers choose the topic. We let them choose between 2014 fashion or Tumblr feminism, as we discussed briefly in the last episode, and they have chosen 2014 fashion. So that's what we'll be doing today.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Before we get into the topic, should we update everyone on what's been going on in the few days since we launched the first episode? Yeah. What have you been up to?
I've been trying to work on my portfolio, keyword trying. It's a never-ending task that is probably my least favorite part of being a designer. Clover is attacking the blinds right now. I don't know if you could hear her.
I can't.
Girl, stop. But yeah, that's really all I've been doing. What else have I been up to? I've been rewatching You, starting from season one.
Yes.
And it is better than I remembered. It's not even just as good because I thought it was really cheesy when I first watched it. And now I'm like kind of analyzing it more as like a valid piece of art or a valid piece of media. I'll definitely have more thoughts. I'm only like four episodes in, so I'll probably have more thoughts once I've finished season one. And then I'm sure I'll have thoughts about season two because I remember really liking that season.
I am also rewatching You. And I started from season two, though, because I've watched season one, I think, three times. Dang. And season two is so phenomenal. It's so good. Okay. I think Penn Badgley killed season two. Well, literally. I'm obsessed with Victoria Pedretti. I think she's like...
Yeah, she's great.
Such an amazing actress. And I just started season three this morning. And I forget the actor's name who plays Theo, the like next door neighbor's stepson.
I never watched season three. So that's that's like the main reason why I'm rewatching is because I want to watch the newest season, mm-hmm. but I never actually finished it. I'm not caught up.
Okay, then I won't spoil season three.
Yeah, don't spoil.
But I will say I just finished the first half of season four and I have thoughts and I don't know that they're great ones.
Yeah, well, we'll have to check back in once I'm done.
Yeah, we will do a critical analysis.
Yes. True Tumblr style analysis.
Oh, yeah. We'll take it through the Tumblr feminist lens.
Yes. It's interesting because I don't remember when season one came out, but I don't think I was really talking about it on Tumblr. I don't know if it was really.
I don't think so. I definitely didn't talk about it on my Tumblr at all. I think at that point, maybe it came out while we were in college. So at that point, I was like on my hiatus.
Yeah, maybe.
But you'll be proud to know I am watching The Last of Us.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And I watched episode three last night and I literally cried so hard. Yeah. That was such and it's
gonna,
a fantastic.
The tears are going to continue to come. They just really are.
It was so good. I'm really excited to finish the season.
Yeah. I remember when, like, before it officially released, but some people had, like, early access to the whole season. And they said season three is really when the show starts. Like, the season – or episode – did I say season? Episode three is really when the show starts. Episode one and two are more like set up exposition mm-hmm. for the world. So the next episodes are really good. And I am very excited that you've decided to join me in my obsession because, I mean, if we're going to be doing this podcast that's so focused on fan culture, you have to be a part of my most recent fandom.
Yeah.
And my most active fandom right now.
Yeah. I wouldn't expect you to get into my fandoms because they're really chaotic. And also, I'm mostly in band fandoms at this point. So, like, you have to like the music to be into them.
Yeah.
But I will always keep you up to date on whatever is going on in my fandoms.
Yeah. I want the drama for sure.
Oh, yeah. This week, I have been, like, obsessively checking our analytics. It's, I think, my new toxic trait. But I was so excited to see how many listeners we had on the first episode so far. It's, like, it felt really rewarding. So that's been really exciting to see. And I'm just so excited to, like, get into more episodes and let all the ex-Tumblr girlies choose what they want to hear. So that's actually how we decided on today's episode. I put a poll on our Instagram story asking our followers if they would rather have an episode about 2014 fashion or Tumblr feminism. And they did opt for 2014 fashion this week, which I think means Tumblr feminism is close on the horizon.
Oh, yeah. We have to cover that.
It's going to be a good one. But today we're delving into the look of the 2014 Tumblr girl. The infamous.
Yes.
But in 2014, we weren't all dressing like the ideal Tumblr girl. In fact, in 2014, Carly and I were only 14 years old. It was the first year of high school. Lord's Pure Heroin was blasting in our wired earphones. Okay. Lana Del Rey's Ultra Violence had just come out. Halsey didn't have an album out yet. It was quite a time. Pop culturally. And so we thought we would start this episode talking about how we got into fashion as like young teens and how we were dressing in 2014 before we start breaking down the real popular aesthetics of that time and what that all entailed and how TikTok is gripping onto it now. So Carly, would you like to tell the listeners what fashion meant to you at 14 years old?
Infinity scarves. That's what fashion meant to me. I wanted to be the soft grunge. I wanted to be the Tumblr it girl, but I was not. I shopped at Kohl's. I shopped at Boscov's. I shopped at Old Freaking Navy. I still shop at Old Navy. But I was not as cool as I wanted to be. But I loved fashion. And I think that if I was able to shop at the stores I wanted to, I may have been able to create a look for myself that was better than what I looked like. But I loved fashion from such a young age. I think my first introduction to it was probably Project Runway.
Mm.
That's what it was called, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. My grandparents would always gift me like these Project Runway like kits where it was – there were like these plain mannequins that you could draw clothes on. And I was like, this is my shit. I knew how to draw. I thought I knew what fashion was. So I'm like, you know, polka dots, stripes, the craziest color combinations. I was not really concerned with trends at the time. I was concerned with what I thought was fashion, and Pinterest. I would just go on Pinterest and download images, save them to a folder on my little shitty first laptop. I do remember that one of our first like play dates, they were play dates, we were 10. I feel like that's a proper term for it's that fair. Age. Our mom set this up. We didn't know how to drive. But I remember bringing a binder full of my fashion drawings.
I also recall this.
Yes. And I mean, I'm glad that you didn't. I don't know what your opinion of them was. I'm glad you didn't share it because I don't think my self-esteem at the time would have been able to handle it.
I'm sure I loved them because that's what I was into too. I was like, I'm going to be either a fashion designer or I'm going to work at a fashion magazine. Like that was my dream job.
My dream was a fashion magazine editor, even though that's not even close to what I'm going to school for.
Honestly, I ended up in a field not that far off. I actually did work for an online fashion magazine for like 6 months.
Yeah. I worked there with you.
Yeah.
And it was as awful as it was, we weren't paid or anything.
No, but we were slaying the day away.
Yeah. I still have some of that stuff on my portfolio.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I went to New York Fashion Week. Like, obviously, I was going to flex that. I had a similar introduction to fashion and fashion intrigue, but part of my interest was also fueled by the fact that my older sister was planning to go to fashion school. So she was taking design classes and she would keep, you know, like fashion drawings up around our bedroom because we did share a room. And I also would get gifted those like little design kits. I remember very vividly having one that was all paper clothes that you would cut out and like kind of origami fold up into cute little designs. And it came with like a bunch of different pattern scrapbooking paper to cut, and you could like glue sequins on them, you could glue beads on them, and it came with these tiny little hangers to hang your designs on.
I remember those.
It was revolutionary. I was like, I could easily create a whole collection of real clothing.
Yeah.
And then so once I started getting more of a say in like how I dress, you know, like when you're a preteen and your mom starts like letting you choose more of your clothes instead of telling you like what's appropriate. I will say 2014 is the year I started shopping at Forever 21, I'm pretty sure, which I would not do now, but was kind of the only way to dress cute when you were 14 years old and didn't have much money of your own. In 2014, I was actually, I think in 2014, I was dressing pretty true to my Tumblr interest, I would say. I think I was dressing as closely and like appropriately as a 14-year-old could to the style that I was into online. So at this time, I was really into like Halsey and Orion Carlotto. If you know who she is, you know. But I was wearing like the pleated tennis skirts and knee-high socks. I had a pair of stockings with cat whiskers on the knees. I would wear them under shorts. I had my first pair of Doc Martens I got for my 14th birthday, and I wore them to a One Direction concert. I was like the whole vibe, I think. I had like, I was going through my Instagram archive to try to find pictures of the clothes I had back then. And I had a white sweater with dinosaurs all over it. And I had a dress with cats on it. And at this time, I was also wearing like big, messy top knot buns. And I wore fake glasses sometimes. And my mom would not buy me jelly shoes, much to my dismay. I only had like a couple things from American Apparel, even though that was the homeland at the time. Yeah. I also had vision boards in my room. Okay, so I would save photos from Tumblr and get them printed out by Shutterfly and hang them up around my room and be like, this is how I'm going to dress. Now that I'm 14 years old, I'm going to get all this stuff from American Apparel and I'm going to look like these girls who were certainly 19 to 25 years old at this time.
Yeah.
And obviously I was not going to look like that because I was 14, but I really tried my hardest. And I think that's all that matters.
Yeah. You were also dying. You started dyeing your hair around that time.
Yeah. So when I was 14, I had hair down to like my waist. I would say it was that long. And I dyed it black, even though I already had super dark brown hair. But then I started dip dyeing the ends. I think I did them red one time that year. And then after that was when I started cutting and dyeing my hair all the time. But I didn't bleach it for the first time until 2015. But 2014, that was the year. Yeah, I did dye my hair black. And I remember making some quote about some Lana Del Rey lyric. It's so bad.
You don't need to go into details. It's okay. No. We can use our imagination.
What about you? What was the style in 2014, the day-to-day?
What I wore? Oh, God. I don't know. I really can't remember what I dressed like. I think I've blocked out a lot of it because it's too embarrassing. But I wanted to be a Tumblr girl. Uh-huh. And I think that I try to remember myself as the Tumblr girl, at least in terms of fashion, even though I know that's not what I dress like. I dress kind of like my mom, who's a kindergarten teacher. And, you know, it's good for a kindergarten teacher look. And for a freshman in high school, wasn't that bad. I liked going to Hot Topic and getting their graphic tees, but I wouldn't get anything that was like too Hot Topic-y.
Mm-hmm.
It was all like their Great Gatsby shirt. I had a Great Gatsby shirt from Hot Topic.
I remember.
I wore that all the time. I still have it.
It's like a t-shirt.
Yeah. And it was like, you know, it was simple. It was an interest I had. I always felt judged going into Hot Topic, but that just kind of par for the course.
Weirdly, I didn't shop at Hot Topic. I think my mom didn't really let me.
Oh, my mom didn't let me either. I just if I was getting dropped off at the mall with friends,
mm-hmm.
I would go in there without her knowledge. I would not tell her I was in there. She hated that store.
You know what? Maybe it wasn't so much that my mom didn't let me as that she didn't want to spend money there. And so I do think one time I bought the Fault in Our Stars t-shirt at Hot Topic. But despite the fact that I was like into emo bands, I wasn't buying any emo band merch. Like I didn't have the classic Panic at the Disco or Pierce the Veil shirts. However, I did have a couple that my sister gave me of like her hand-me-down emo t-shirts. So I guess I was kind of wearing those at the time, just not purchasing them at Hot Topic.
Yeah. You know, now that I think about it, I feel like what I wanted to be was kind of a mix of like, I wanted to be the soft grunge girl, but I really was more of like the hipster twee girl as a 14-year-old. But I also wanted to kind of show my music interest in the clothes I wore. So that's kind of why I went to Hot Topic to get like the Paramore and the Red Hot Chili Peppers and the, you know, obligatory Great Gatsby shirt. But overall, I would say that I wasn't super influenced by like the fashion I was looking at online because I knew that I couldn't pull it off, which is okay.
I feel like hipster is the perfect word. We both loved saying we were hipsters.
Yeah, even though we didn't really know what that meant.
I still don't know what it means.
I don't know. I remember like, there was a movie called Hipsters that I watched, and it took place in like the 60s or something. So I think it's like an older fashion movement.
I think whenever I thought hipster, I just thought Vanessa Hudgens at Coachella. And I was like, I want to be that.
Honestly, I still have some Vanessa Hudgens at Coachella looks on my Pinterest.
And
she's hot. What can you say?
I don't think some of those looks are ever going to go out of style. But recently, other people have been saying that 2014 is back in style.
Yeah.
And to that I say, when did it stop?
Yeah. Because I think more and more over the years, I've become more of a Tumblr girl in terms of style.
Exactly. Me too. Because when I was 14, I could only wear so much of it. Like, it didn't really suit being 14 years old. But now that I'm 22, I can dress however I want. And that includes looking like it's 2014.
Yeah. And that stuff you can wear out to the bar. You can wear if you're going out in the city for the day. And if you're working at home, which is what you're doing, it's like you can wear whatever you want. You don't have to dress up for any company, really.
Exactly. And what I find most interesting, though, about everyone saying like, oh, 2014 is back, is that it's back for people who weren't on Tumblr, which it's like, I guess in that way, it's not really like back, quote unquote, but it's in style again. So like all the teens on TikTok have really picked up on the quote unquote Tumblr girl aesthetic. And now they have their own sort of version of it, which I think does go pretty closely with what it actually looked like. But in research for this episode, I was reading a couple articles about like the Tumblr girl is back and indie sleaze is back. And what I found that other people have been saying about it is that the reason it's coming around so soon after it ended is because of a sense of like nostalgia for that time, even for people who weren't in that era during that era. And I think that's what's interesting for us, is that like we were in that era in 2014, but a lot of the people who dressed like that in 2014 didn't really ever change their style. And so it's not like back. It's just that instead of taking a 20-year trend cycle to come back, it only took like 10. And now people are dressing that way again because, newsflash, it's super cute.
Yeah. And I think that it's not really like a new phenomenon that styles are coming back because of nostalgia. I mean, in like the Tumblr years when we were on, there was still nostalgia for an even older time, which is why we saw typewriters, we saw Polaroids. Like, that wasn't really around in 2014.
No.
That was something that we brought back.
That's so true.
Tumblr girls single-handedly brought back Polaroids. And they're still they're still in now.
That's so true. Except I heard that the teens are now into like digital cameras from like the early 2000s.
Yeah, that's it. That's an interesting development.
Yeah.
Because like I don't really, I mean, I had a digital camera, but I don't really, I much prefer a Polaroid. I feel like it's something that I didn't really grow up with. So I guess that's kind of why I like that better than a digital camera. Digital camera isn't really special to me.
Yeah, I guess what's vintage to us is not vintage to the teens. Or it's like what's vintage to the teens is part of our actual life.
Yeah. So before we go into the specific Tumblr aesthetics, we might want to provide a bit of a bigger context into the other fashion trends that were kind of around in the early 2000s. So the kind of the mainstream was the early 2000s style that we see kind of coming back in the past couple years, the low-rise jeans, like Juicy Couture, tracksuits, stuff like that. But kind of like the antithesis to that style was indie sleazecore, which I think probably a lot of our listeners have heard that term being thrown around.
Yeah, and even I am vaguely unsure of exactly what it means.
Yeah. I did a little research, but let me try to summarize this in the most succinct way possible, and most accurate, hopefully. But to the best of my knowledge, indie sleazecore kind of started in the early 2000s, around the time that MySpace was around. So kind of the cutoff for it is around 2013. So Tumblr was kind of gaining popularity right when indie sleazecore was kind of meeting its end. I see some people kind of attributing it to the Bush era. So 2008, maybe. But, you know, there's not really hard cutoffs for any of these like fashion movements, but it's associated a lot with American Apparel ads, flash photography, really sleazy, and like, for lack of a better word. But the American Apparel founder actually has a lot of sexual harassment allegations against him, which shouldn't be surprising, especially if you were on Tumblr, you've seen the American Apparel ads. Oh, it was girls with, like, you know, in their underwear, really not appropriate for probably, you know, the time that we were on Tumblr seeing that stuff. It was problematic, to say the least, especially now that we have a greater context into the founder, now that all these allegations have come out. But yeah, American Apparel, flash photography, these provocative imagery. A big focus was on clubbing, going dancing, which is kind of represented in the music that was popular at the time, which was artists like MIA, the Yeah Yeahs, the Arctic Monkeys, which definitely had its moment on Tumblr.
Oh,
I still listen to them.
It's having its moment.
Yeah.
I love the Arctic Monkeys.
They're so good. They're so good. But yeah, most of the music was like this fun dance music. And indie sleaze was really about seeking pleasure in a time where there was a lot of like a lot going on, you know, economically. And there was, you know, Afghanistan and Iraq and just a lot of bad shit going on, which is, you know, it's continued to have bad. There's been bad shit going on, but kind of the fashion at the time was kind of about approaching life in a more raw way, which is why it kind of drew some inspiration from heroin chic in the 90s. And, you know, the name itself
is problematic.
Enough to
evoke an image.
But the Tumblr girl kind of took indie sleaze in like a new direction. She was more of a loner. She was more depressed, which is kind of what gave rise to the soft grunge girl. And then the twee girl is a little bit of a different side to Tumblr, which I will talk about. But do you want to go into soft grunge, the soft grunge girl now?
I would love to. So yeah, as Carly said, I very much also found that this soft grunge look was a derivative of indie sleaze, or kind of like a following trend. So I kind of think that soft grunge is really like the pinnacle of the quote unquote Tumblr girl look. I think that's like really what it hones in on. Soft grunge appears to come from like a derivative of 90s grunge. So like, I guess the Nirvana era of like alt rock music, except soft grunge took it in more of like an indie pop direction. Musically, I think the music is so intrinsic to this fashion era. So when I think soft grunge, I think Halsey and her blue hair and her alien t-shirts and her space buns. I think Orion Carlotto, Doc Martens in an oil puddle. I think that picture of Sky Ferreira and Matty Healy at a 1975 concert.
I know the exact one you're talking about.
And I think a lot of black and white photography and all these things kind of played into it. I also think that some of the inspirations came from like TV. So really the like indie girls or the soft grunge girls were like Effie from Skins. She was really like, I think, the bridge between indie sleaze and soft grunge. You know, the big messy eyeliner and the don't give a fuck attitude.
The mental illness.
The mental illness. And then like Aria from Pretty Little Liars, I think is the perfect bridge between soft grunge and twee. Because Pretty Little Liars was a fashion reflection of the early 2010s. And then, of course, the indie pop queens of the time, Marina, Lana, Lorde, all filtered into the soft grunge aesthetic.
I think it's interesting that you bring up the Nirvana 90s grunge era, because I think that something I remember was Nirvana t-shirts being really big, but the music itself was not listened to. It was way more for the album cover was an icon for the soft grunge era, even if the music wasn't.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the soft grunge definitely took 90s grunge look without any of the culture of the 90s grunge, which is why it became softer, because of the like indie pop movement.
Yeah, I think the one thing that stuck around was cigarettes.
Yeah, you know what? A soft grunge girly did love her cigarette. So I thought to like really center in on what this look was, I would give a list of like core items to really paint the picture. So starting from the bottom, for shoes, you had Doc Martens loafers, or those like huge heeled boots. I remember those being really big, almost like Jeffrey Campbell's, but those were a little bit more twee than they were soft grunge.
Yeah.
And for pants, it had to be skinny jeans. It literally had to be skinny jeans or ripped jeans.
Yeah.
And if you weren't wearing jeans, you were probably wearing shorts or a tennis skirt with stockings under it. And if your legs were exposed, you were probably wearing knee-high socks. And then for shirts, you had graphic tees, like we were talking about earlier. I very vividly remember the horizontal black and white stripe tee and the shirts with the little aliens emojis on them. Those were very big. or just like plain black and white fitted stuff with a huge denim jacket or a huge leather jacket. And the jacket was like bonus points if you had a DIY design on it, like if you had painted something on the back of it. Oh my God. Do you remember the one on Tumblr that it was like a leather jacket that said the kids aren't all right?
Yes, I do. And I wanted that one.
And then there was like denim jackets with patches on them and like holes in them. And then how could you forget the flannel around the waist?
Yeah.
It was
That was one thing from the soft grunge girl that I stole. Even if I didn't take anything else, I did take the flannel around the waist.
Flannel around the waist was like, there are no words to describe how cool I thought it looked to tie a red flannel around my waist. Okay, yeah. I was like, in 2014, you know what was going through my 14-year-old skull? I was like, me and this flannel tied around my waist, Michael Clifford from Five Sauce is gonna want me.
It's so true. For me, we might want to cut this out, but for me, it was dyed period stains because I was constantly bleeding through my pants. I thought I was cool. And you know what? It was a good cover. It was a good cover.
But yeah, those were really like the items that made up the closet of the Tumblr girl, the soft grunge girl. And mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting how these looks kind of were like adjacent to other Tumblr aesthetics. So I think 2014 is also when like the minimalist capsule closet really came into style. And you would see posts on Tumblr of people with like open closets that had all the same hanger with only black clothes and only white clothes and only denim. And mm-hmm. like the tote bags from American Apparel, or maybe it was Urban Outfitters, that had all the city names on them. Mm-hmm. And like big chunky boots. Like, I think that minimalist style was kind of related-ish to soft grunge. But then there was also, of course, pastel goth, which mm-hmm. was somewhere in between soft grunge and I don't even know what else.
Yeah.
So pastel goth was, I think, kind of like Marina and the Diamonds Electra Heart is what I associate mm-hmm. with it. So like either blue or pink dyed pastel hair, and then a lot of the same soft grunge clothing, but just in lighter colors. That's really what I think when I think pastel goth, but I guess I could be wrong on that.
I think the difference, probably you can really see the difference in the blogs and what mm-hmm. the blogs look like.
Yeah,
because the pastel goth blogs were all pink most mm-hmm. of the time. It was pink and black, really, but yes. There were a lot of blogs that were completely pink, and it was like the pink grid patterns with an angsty quote over top. Yes. It was
those, but then, are like, in my archive.
Yes. And then like the more soft grunge, kind of more goth girl, it was the black and white grid. Right. It was the black water. I don't know if you remember
yes,
that.
Yes, I remember. Boxed water.
Like, yeah. What? It was a weird time.
I thought I would like finish out my section on soft grunge with a quote from an article that I read that I think really summed up why this look is back. And kind of what it's representing now. So like when you were in it in 2014, it was really a reflection of like your music taste or your Tumblr usage or kind of just your general angsty, maybe like sadness. But now that it's kind of popular on TikTok again, I don't think it really reflects all of those things per se. Whereas it kind of represents something else. And this quote from a psychology professor that Vox interviewed, I thought was really interesting. She said, "What people are craving is the period when they had fewer worries, more innocent fun, and greater emotional support during difficult times. It was simpler. Now there are all these choices. Social media got so complicated that it ruined some of the fun." And I think that's really true. I think the micro trend cycle of today has made it almost impossible for such a huge look like soft grunge to happen again. Except for like cottagecore, I think so many of these trends move so quickly that people can't even identify them by name. but the 2014 Tumblr girl is like an identity, and yeah. the fashion comes with it. And so that was kind of like my reason to be so fascinated by why it was coming back. And like I said earlier, like for me, I'm like, oh, that's the same way I dress now, because I like never stopped dressing that way because I really stuck by that style. But
yeah.
teens today follow the micro trends, not to say all of them, but a lot of kids now that use TikTok want to follow the micro trends and don't find an aesthetic that they click with so hard that they fully immerse it and will keep it for the next 10 years.
Yeah. And I think also, like, we think of that, like, we both are nostalgic for that time.
Absolutely.
But it's not really the time. It's the aesthetic, because if we were nostalgic for that time, we would be nostalgic for undiagnosed mental illness, social anxiety, just even like in 2014 when I was like reblogging this stuff, I knew that it wasn't realistic, but yeah. now looking back, you have to really look at it with a more analytical lens, because social media got more complicated, but life was kind of always complicated, and we were younger, so yeah. we didn't have as much to worry about. We weren't, you know, grown adults with jobs and bills to pay.
Exactly. And I do wonder what the girls who were the pictures we were reblogging, like what their life was like being the poster girls for that aesthetic. Mm-hmm. If you were one of the girls who had viral pictures okay, DM us, comment on our TikTok, and DM our Instagram. We want to hear from you.
Yes. All right. So I guess I'll talk about the twee side of Tumblr.
Please do.
Which was just a complete aesthetic. Like, they just were completely different aesthetically. Twee is kind of associated with the preppy style, with button-ups. There was floral patterns, blazers. It was kind of the fetishization of the nerd, the geek, the dork, a very hipster look. But it also was fetishizing kind of this virgin, which I saw in an article. And it kind of put things into perspective as to why I, as a 14-year-old, was maybe more drawn to this style. It seemed a little bit more accessible for me,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to the soft grunge girl who was like sneaking out, you know, doing drugs behind her parents' backs. That was never something that I thought I could do.
Oh, yeah. But... And let me know. I dressed as soft grunge as I could. I was not a soft grunge girl. Like,
yeah.
yes, I would listen to the 1975 in my room and like lament about how sad I was, but I was a straight A student with a clean record.
Yeah. But yeah, the twee girl, she was preppy, she was quirky, she was not like other girls.
She was not like other girls.
I think if you are still having trouble kind of visualizing this, if you have ever seen 500 Days of Summer, Zooey Deschanel has always played the twee girl. But in 500 Days of Summer, you know, if we look at it as just a fashion and music moment, she was wearing, I'm pretty sure she was wearing like old headphones,
mm-hmm.
Listening to the Smiths, you know, more.
I love the Smiths.
I hate the Smiths, I'm going to be honest.
No. It's a line.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Oh, okay. She goes, I love
the
Smiths.
Do you actually like the Smiths?
No.
Okay. God, we're on the same page there.
I used to listen to the Smiths because I thought it was cool and because I was into the Carrie Diaries, and she listened to the Smiths. So I was like,
yeah.
I'm going to listen to the Smiths. And I think they suck, personally.
I also think they suck. I think a lot of the soft rock classics from the 70s, I think a lot of it is bad.
Yeah, gonna be not honest. Our vibe.
No. We're much more Halsey girls.
We are Halsey girls.
But that does not mean I did not try to like them.
For real.
But yeah, another... twee it girl was, what's her name from Perks of Being a Wallflower, the girl that Emma Watson played?
Yes, Sam.
She was who I wanted to be. Not only did I love Emma Watson from her Harry Potter days, but seeing her in this movie with her short pixie cut, which is what I had at the time that the movie came out, and just the way she dressed with the little cardigans, with her cute little floral fits, that's who I wanted to be. And the way that the movie portrayed her, you know, I haven't seen the movie in a while, and I'm sure that her character is much more full, like, well-rounded than maybe I remember. But to me at the time, I'm like, she is me. I'm not like other girls. She's not like other girls. And I want to be her at the same time. All those thoughts at the same time. But it was the record player, the typewriter. It was maybe more pulling from 60s and 70s as opposed to the 90s, like the soft grunge girl was. But I think important thing to note is that all of the pictures you'll find of the twee fashion was skinny white girls. And that's also how the soft grunge girl was. I think that no matter what aesthetic you followed, no matter what aesthetic you followed on Tumblr, it was romanticizing eating disorders and skinniness. And it really sucks. But yeah. I think that when I think about indie sleaze, I feel like it romanticized more maybe drug use and partying, and maybe specifically party drugs. Whereas I think on Tumblr, because most people that were drawn to Tumblr were the shy girls, socially anxious girls, girls with a lot of mental illnesses, and eating disorders were one of them. And anybody that was on Tumblr at the time remembers the pro-Anna content. Even if it wasn't explicitly pro-Anna, there was definitely those undertones to everything. And I think that twee was one of the many fashion movements that was really heavily influenced by that pro-Anna content.
That's very true. I think for soft grunge, it was the like, I have nothing but cigarettes for breakfast, and like cigarettes and black coffee, you know, like it, yeah. It also definitely romanticized a very unhealthy lifestyle.
Yes.
I think where soft grunge was Aria from Pretty Little Liars, twee was Spencer, who like wore blazers to school and had Oxford shoes and like was like took herself very seriously. I feel like that's what twee was.
Yeah. And when you think about like the characters that Zooey Deschanel plays, it's always this kind of innocent girl who, and that was really the main distinction between this and the soft grunge, was this idea of innocence, and that if you dressed a certain way, you were more innocent. But also there was a side to twee that was also really inspired by the Lolita aesthetic. And I think that's it's an interesting dichotomy between those two, when Lolita is something that's really fetishized, and then compared to this style that was supposed to be kind of against the sexiness, maybe. I'm not sure if Lolita was maybe what inspired twee, or if there was just that kind of merge because they were, it was all on Tumblr, and it was maybe like all just kind of getting mixed up, and blogs were, you know, using imagery from all these different styles, which is maybe why when we think of the Tumblr girl, everybody kind of has a different idea of what that meant. Some people may think of a more hipster twee girl. Some people may think of a more soft grunge, Halsey loving girl. But there's really no one Tumblr aesthetic. We just think of it when we think back to our days on Tumblr, we have kind of form this idea of what the Tumblr girl looked like, even though we were all very different on our blogs.
And I think it's interesting how TikTok has gripped onto the 2014 Tumblr girl aesthetic as one kind of static thing, but Indie Sleaze is the name that's kind of being attached to it as well, even though maybe at the time they were quite different. But it's all, like you said, kind of just being rolled into one now.
I think maybe people on TikTok now are being more drawn to the Tumblr girl because kind of the fashion aesthetic, I mean, like we said before, like fashion aesthetics are just moving so quickly now that maybe we want something that's a little bit more stable in our mind. But also, I think people miss Tumblr. I think people miss like what that social media platform was like, this it was more real, for back of for lack of a better word. I think now we can kind of see the emergence of like casual Instagram, you know, people posting like just photos from their camera roll that aren't super filtered and curated. Be Real is a huge one now, and I love Be Real. I find it to be like more authentic than any other social media platform. Yeah.
I will say, I think the kind of irony behind posting like messy Instagram dumps and like chaotic TikToks is that they are still very curated, and like, you know who is going to see them, and you are still trying to make them look intentional. Whereas with Tumblr, the anonymity that we talked about last time really inspired an actual sense of authenticity of like, you could say anything, you could post anything, because nobody knew who you were.
Yeah, I definitely think we're trying to get back to this place where we can embrace the angstiness, this like self-expression that was possible on Tumblr. But it's kind of like, you know, there's no real going back to it, just because of how, like, now I think it's pretty well known that everything you post on the internet stays there forever. I did not know that when I was on Tumblr. I was posting things that should never have seen the light of day. And I think that that's kind of a hard thing to unlearn for like younger Gen Z now, that are maybe their first social media platform is TikTok. And also, like, I know I don't use TikTok regularly. I used to. I have it downloaded on my phone so that I can open TikTok links, but that's really the only thing I use it for now. But I remember when I did go on it, I would get recommended videos from like people from high school, and I just have their number saved in my phone.
Yeah,
and
that's, I get that too.
That's how. And that kind of sucks. Like, there are a lot of people that have my phone number, and you don't really, I don't think you have a choice on TikTok whether or not you want to attach your phone number to it.
I don't think so.
So it's, and like, that's not how it was on Tumblr at all. If I had to attach my phone number and I knew that anybody with my number could see my blog, I would have acted completely differently on
there. Yeah, I wouldn't have posted probably anything.
No. And now even I know that there's a few friends from high school that have my Tumblr URL, even though I know they don't even go on Tumblr anymore. I still, now I'm a little bit more self-conscious about what I post anywhere. And I think that's something that's, you can't really get back from those years.
Yeah, there was definitely like, I felt no shame about my Tumblr the way that I feel like insecure about how many likes my Instagram post gets.
Yeah.
But obviously, like we've said that like, even if we think back on like the Tumblr time fondly, and like, even though I still like identify with like the soft grunge aesthetic, like I still feel like that's kind of how I dress. Like Carly said earlier, these styles, like the inspiration pictures that we got them from, really like often did come hand in hand with, or even like promoted, like harmful body standards or like unhealthy habits. And so while it's fun to like look back on these and like have nostalgia for them, obviously we want to be more critical of the way that they're like looked at now, because like soft grunge is for every Tumblr baddie, not just the ones that have access to hair bleach and hard drugs. We don't support hard drugs. We do support hair bleach.
Yes. And we don't all need to have mental illnesses, although many of us do.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is going to be a common factor of the Tumblr girls. But we're all in it together.
And now we're not romanticizing it anymore.
Precisely. We can dress cool and have healthy habits.
Yes.
And love ourselves.
Yes, that's important.
Radical.
And not post quotes about suicide every day.
Absolutely not. No, now we just post a really sad song from Spotify on our Instagram stories and let everyone do the math.
Yeah.
Me posting a Marina song in the year 2023. When my followers see that, just beware.
I wonder when Marina will come out with her new album.
It better be soon. Did you see Hozier posted promo photos for the new album that he has been saying?
Thank fucking God. When I saw him in 2019, he was like, I'm going to have an album out next year. I'm like, yes. Still waiting for that.
I really believed him last year. But we'll talk about it when it comes out. We will have so much to say.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But ending on that note about self-love and, you know, radicalizing our view of the past, we thought it'd be a little more fun to end on a light note of shout outs and honorable mentions for items of clothing that were all the rage in 2014 that did not fit either aesthetic, or maybe did, but weren't like core, or that we forgot to talk about. So let's like go through these, and should we say like whether they should stay in 2014 or is it time to bring them back?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay. So one of my favorite moments from 2014 was Galaxy leggings, and therefore everything Galaxy related. I think it should stay back because Dior just had Galaxy leggings on their runway for their menswear. So I feel like it is back, and I don't think we have a choice about it.
I owned Galaxy everything, and I would say that if I got to choose, it would stay in 2014. I'm not about to wear Galaxy again.
I think you have to look at the Dior photos because they obviously do it very tastefully. And it made me a little nostalgic for them.
Side eye. Another item from 2014 that I think should stay in 2014 is wearing two cami tank tops, one under the other, so that you can see the neon blue under the neon pink.
Yeah, and they were super lacy from Aeropostale. I still have some of them, and I really need to get rid of them.
I don't have any of my ones from 2014, but I will say the, like, three cami tank tops I have are from Aeropostale, and I bought them, like, a couple years ago because they're, like, kind of okay quality.
Yeah, I just need to throw out my ones that are, like, more than 10 years old, maybe.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Leave it in 2014.
Yeah, leave it in 2014. I agree with that one. Another thing I think should be left in 2014 is Infinity scarves. Another, you know, honorable mention. It's not really an honorable mention anymore.
Yeah, I think we're blanket scarf girls now.
Yeah. I have so many blanket scarves that I haven't worn this season. And I really should just get
it hasn't been cold enough.
Well, it's snowing in Rochester right now. We just got a winter advisory, so that's fun.
So Infinity scarves may be back.
Maybe. If they make them warm enough, I will be wearing them.
A personal favorite of mine from 2014 that I might be biased, but I think it could be brought back if done right, are those t-shirts that said, like, "Lol, you're not Luke Hemmings." And you could get any male celebrities. Like, I would wear a shirt that says, "Lol, you're not Dylan O'Brien." And I would do it unironically.
Yeah. I agree. I think that should come back. I think you could definitely pull it off. I wouldn't be surprised if I saw you wearing it one day.
I think I'm bringing them back.
I wonder who I would do. I'd have to think
"Lol,
about
you're
it.
Not Joel from The Last of Us."
That's actually what I was thinking, but I wasn't going to say it because I was like, that's really, really nerdy. But
I love it. But
I'm predictable. What can I say?
Speaking of nerdy, Harry Potter merch.
Yeah.
Was socially acceptable to wear most days in 2014. And I think it's time to put it to rest.
Yeah, there are still some people that think it's socially acceptable, but it's definitely not anymore. Especially if you're over the age of 18.
Yeah, like, and this is not to shame anyone who still enjoys the Harry Potter books or, like, is part of the Harry Potter fandom, because we've been there. But, like, I just can't imagine wearing a Gryffindor t-shirt in the year 2023.
No. You know, I talked earlier in the episode about rewatching You, and there was a Harry Potter joke. It was like somebody said, "Oh, they're in House Slytherin." Like, that's weird to hear about.
Yeah,
like it's had its moment. It's done. We can leave it in 2014.
I think that just proves how millennial of a show You is.
Yeah. One other thing that I don't think should be kept in 2014, but what a lot of the younger Gen Z now are wanting to leave is skinny jeans. And I know that you love skinny jeans.
I'm furious. Okay. I love skinny jeans.
I wouldn't say they're completely out of style right now. I don't think it's something that like sticks out if somebody wears skinny jeans, but now like wide leg and straight like jeans are way more common. And even in like the recreations of the like the 2014 Tumblr girl look, a lot of the times they don't wear skinny jeans because they don't own them.
I know. And it's like most major retailers are still selling skinny jeans. But what I've noticed is that they're getting like worse and worse quality. Like they're basically back to being just jeggings, which like,
oh my God, don't even get 2014. Me started on
jeggings. But like, I've been looking for a good pair of skinny jeans because I'm an adult and I want skinny jeans. And I can't find any that are like fitted at the ankle anymore. They're all like skinny straight. And I'm like, that's not what I'm looking for. I want them to be so tight that I have to pull them over the heel with my nails.
But you did find some, didn't you?
I did, but they're not hemmed at the bottom.
Oh.
It's like a rough, I don't know. It's a rough hem.
So sorry for your loss.
Thank you so much. Something else I have lost to 2014 is two makeup items. Okay. Oxblood lipstick. Now I know what you might be thinking. Some of you are listening and you're saying, what is Oxblood? But if you were a Tumblr girl, I think you know what Oxblood is. It's a deep red. Okay. It was a matte lipstick, usually from MAC Cosmetics. I think MAC Cosmetics can be left in 2014 because they're not cruelty free. Yeah. But Oxblood lipstick has strangely not come back with the soft grunge movement. And I want to see it come back. I love a deep red lip. But what can stay in 2014 is blue eyeliner on the waterline. If you can rock it, more power to you. It did not look good on me, and I will not be doing it, even if it comes back in style.
I do see more crazy eyeliner looks now as opposed to like staples. Yes. Like everybody's really experimenting, which is really fun to see.
Yes, I love like water activated liners, like all the cool colors, but this was a pencil blue eyeliner just on your bottom waterline. And it like, it was not for me. So it's a leave it in 2014 for I personally.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I don't really wear eyeliner. So something else that I would like to keep in 2014 is peplum tops. I don't think they ever worked. Every time I accidentally try one on, I'm furious.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. And something that's really funny is that when I was younger, I want to say maybe like 11, 12, I thought peplum tops were like the peak of fashion. I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to be like 16, 17. I'm going to wear a peplum top to school. Like this is what went through my head.
And you then wanted to be Arya from Pretty Little Liars.
I literally wanted to be her so bad. And then I got to 14, 15, 16. And I was like, I would never. And they were always that like scuba material. What is that? I don't know what it's called, but you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I feel like I associated them kind of with like business casual.
Yeah.
And I had a moment where I loved pencil skirts. I never wore them, but I was obsessed with them. And I just would like, I wanted to be a girl boss. And I dreamed about the days where I would have a big girl job. Now I don't dream about those days because they're fast approaching. You do not dream
of labor.
No. But I did dream of peplum tops. but they're gone.
They're gone.
I do not claim them.
I think my last item of 2014 that I can say is succinctly gone is fishtail braids. I don't see people doing them anymore. I think mostly because personally, I don't really think they made any sense. Like they took a lot longer to do than a regular braid.
Yeah. I could never do, I can't even French braid my hair. So that was never an option for me.
When my hair was longer, I French braided it like almost every day.
Jeez, I'm jealous. One thing that I honestly, I would love to see back are those circular wide brim black hats.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
It's like the one that Violet wore in American Horror Story Coven.
Yes.
Yeah. Those ones.
I think they're a moment. I think they're stunning.
I think they're really cute. They were definitely part of soft grunge, just like a very small part of it. That and like bowler hats. were a thing for some reason.
Yeah.
But I feel like the only people who wear those big wide brim hats now are like mommy bloggers. Like Christian Girl yeah. Autumn is what they've kind of assimilated into.
Yeah. I guess Infinity Stars have stayed in Christian Girl Autumn.
Yeah. Oh, Christian Girl Autumn is the new Twee.
Me? That's a hot take. Oh my god.
And for more hot takes of the like, you can come back next week. Carly, where can they find us?
You can follow us on social media. Our Instagram is at xtumblrgirlspod. Our TikTok is at xtumblrgirls. And we, of course, have a Tumblr. But because of a weird rule where Tumblr does not allow you to have Tumblr in your URL, you can find us on Tumblr at xpodcastgirls.tumblr.com.
Come join, be our bestie, and we'll talk to you next Thursday. Bye.
Bye.